Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for joining us. We're live at Pac-12 Football Media Day at Warner Brothers Studios, year four of being out here. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. So we do our thing day in and day out. A lot going on, busy, busy schedule. You never know who's going to drop in, including David Shaw, the head coach of Stanford, right off the top. One of the legends of the conference, according to Lincoln Kennedy, who was with us a little bit earlier. And he was very sincere about that. Good seeing you, Coach Shaw.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. You're talking to Arizona. You come into Arizona. You get players from Arizona. You've got another season where you're getting after it. What is the view from your standpoint of your team this year?
Well, so the thing is, you know, I lived in Mesa for 5 years growing up. My dad coached at Arizona State, so a lot of areas that I know. My uncle still lives in Mesa. So
say hi to him. Give him a shout-out. It's fine.
I will, yeah. My uncle Nate, Mount Sharon, they live in Mesa, and it's a really good place. There's really good football. There are good schools there. We've had a great history of guys, you know, Trent Murphy being one, guys that we've been able to pull out of Arizona, Josh Morrow. And they've been great football players for us and great guys for us. So we'll be back every year.
I was talking to Lincoln earlier, and he said the thing about Coach Shaw is, Brad, I've seen him through the years. He coached me at one point in time, or coached the team at one point in time. And now I see where he's got this style at Stanford where it's just stick it down the other team's throat and physically pound them, and other teams haven't been able to adjust. Do you see it that way from what you've been able to do at Stanford?
Well, I think, you know, we want to be versatile on the offensive side, but there's no doubt there's a physical component that we need to have. It's part of our identity. We want to be able to run the ball between the tackles when we want to run the ball between the tackles. And when you can impose your will like that, you have a chance to turn the tide for the game in your favor. Mm-hmm. The most physical team can win football games. And when you establish that physical dominance, you have a chance to win every game.
Blake Martinez is going to come on with us a little bit later. What type of kid is he?
You know, Blake is one of those guys, you know, he plays the game with a smile on his face. There are certain guys, in particular linebackers and safety sometimes, that they just love hitting people.
Mm-hmm.
Blake's one of those guys. He loves physical contact. You know, sometimes even when it's not necessary, he has to, like, initiate something. That's part of his nature. That's what you want one of your senior leaders, how you want one of your senior leaders to be, how you want your linebackers to play. He wants to establish the middle of the field. He wants to inflict his shoulder pads on as many guys during the course of the game as he can.
So I remember watching him when he was at CDO, and Kadeem Carey is who everybody was there to see. But that kid on the defensive side of the football was a wrecking ball, and he had a good deal of success for you. I'm curious, David, when you look at the Power 5 and now the talk of Power 4, and you look at where the Pac-12 is, the depth as the national reach of the conference, are we heading towards a Power 4? Should the playoff be expanded? These are questions I get from fans quite often.
You know, I love where the playoff is right now, personally. I think before we tweak it or change it, I think we need to live in it for a couple of years and see which teams come and see which how much the strength of schedule really help. Nine games, conference games versus eight conference games, mm-hmm. all those things, out-of-conference schedules, et cetera. I think all those things, we got to keep pouring that in for a couple of years before we really see if we want to change it. My natural inclination is to go to eight games. That's just my natural feeling. I don't know if you need to shrink the number of regular season games to 11 from 12. I don't know what all entails, but I think with where we are right now, let's live in this for a couple of years before we see if we want to change it.
Is there debate among the coaches within the conference about this?
I think there's discussion. I think our biggest concern right now is that we've got a bear of a conference,
yeah.
and every week is going to be tough and difficult. And the teams that people would view as middle of our conference, they can beat everyone in our conference. It's not like other conferences where the middle or to lower parts of the conference, they're not going to win any games. You go into any of these stadiums, you got a chance to come out with a loss. And that's our main concern. And also making sure that people recognize that that's how our conference is. So you could have a two-loss team coming out as a Pac-12 champion. That two-loss team should be looked at high esteem because of the road that we have to travel as a conference.
It's really interesting to see where you've built Stanford's program, and not just you, but everybody before you to that point, where Todd Graham is trying to build ASU, Rich Rod is trying to build U of A to be on that same level year in and year out. And I think that they've made progress. But I look at it more of a big picture that when Stanford plays Notre Dame, it's a great, great fit for the conference. ASU opens with Texas A&M. those are the types of games I think that the fans need to see. But more importantly, in the CFP, you've got to keep playing those games. You actually have to add to it, it seems to me.
There's no question. It becomes harder to do what other teams have done in the past, which is play. You play a lower-level Division I team and then a lower-level FCS team, and you want those wins to count just like somebody playing Notre Dame. And those days are over. That one win does not equal one win, which is a great thing about having a committee and not a computer to make these decisions.
Correct.
Right? Well, they can have these discussions, which they had last year. So it's making people ramp up their schedule, you know, which I think is great. It's great for the fans because they're better games, the more exciting games. It's harder on the teams. So if you win 10 games, hey, those are 10 respectable wins and not 7 respectable wins and 3 gimmies.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate you coming by for a couple of minutes.
Not a problem. Thanks,
Coach Shaw. Good David Shaw. Every year when we come out here, it's always good to catch up with him. And, of course, they play U of A. That will be in the first week of October, October 3rd. They open at Northwestern, and they have UCF, at USC, at Oregon State, and then they have U of A. Eric and I got here this morning, and it's a pretty cool setup that we have here. So you just don't know who's going to swing by. Right now, David takes off his headsets. He's right behind us. A couple slots away is Jim Mora. And Todd Graham was out hitting a golf ball here this morning, and I don't know, was he embarrassing himself? Or?
Oh, no.
Yeah?
No, he did quite well.
He had a putting green set up when we got here this morning for Jordan Simone and Mike Bercovici and all the players and coaches that are out here. Have you had a highlight so far of this trip?
Of the trip?
Yeah, sure.
Just of
the trip.
Oh, there's always highlights when you and I go on the road.
Of course.
I know. Just you're going to bury me, so just go ahead and
we're
on a tight schedule. Just go ahead.
We have Lincoln Kennedy in a couple minutes.
Talk about the fact that we went to dinner last night with my in-laws, and I thought it'd be nice if I used the gift card.
I have a sponsored segment.
And then
here.
I gave him the gift card to my father-in-law, and the gift card had a grand total of $0.
Zero.
And 0 cents on it.
Zero.
Yeah, I was the laughing stock at dinner. Thanks. I know.
Well, I was laughing for some other reasons, but it's fine.
Exactly.
It's fine.
You're of age, though. You can do that.
I can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up on the show.
Lincoln Kennedy is going to be here in a couple minutes. Let's get you caught up. Some things in my mind in the world of sports, and we'll go through the whole lineup. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Our Santan Ford experience driving out here to Pac-12 Football Media Day. Eric and I said, let's do the drive. You know, we fly a lot. Let's drive. You know, they're talking about that I-10 bridge that was out because of the flooding in the bridge. It was nothing. If you guys are coming out here to L.A., it's nothing. We zoomed right through it. We got out here in comfort, style, no worries, no problems. Of course, General Manager Tim Hovick and Santan Ford, they're big partners with us. They, of course, sponsor Arizona State. They take care of the Arizona Cardinals. They take care of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they're a big part of sports360az.com. We appreciate their support as always. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Lincoln Kennedy from the Pac-12 Network is going to come by here. Todd Graham in about 30 minutes. Mike Bercovici after 11. If you're thinking, well, why are you doing all the ASU stuff today and you're a U of A fan? Here's the thing. They're not making U of A available till tomorrow. So while we have David Shaw today, we are not going to have Sonny Dykes until tomorrow from Cal. They are doing that where today maybe Jim Mora coming along here, but tomorrow would be Steve Sarkisian. So that's why we're out here for 2 days. I know Larry Scott has already poked his head by here, and we'll swing by our broadcast location, and we'll have some fun on that front. There's some other things today. So the ASU unis were released this morning. I think we've got some pictures back in studio of those picture of those unis. Jordy's back there. You can jump in on this, I think. Can you jump in on this, Jordy? I think you can. Yeah, sure. So do you have those stills, some pictures?
Yeah, we're getting those up right now.
Oh, you're efforting. Okay. So we'll do a little bit of an analysis on the new unis. They're not really that different, and we had some ASU players we talked to the last few weeks and said, yeah, they're sweet, but I wouldn't say that there's anything over the top about them. It's always exciting when uniforms come out. For whatever reason, people want to jump in and analyze, and it's fine. It's what fandom's all about. So we'll get into that as the show moves on today. Ohio State just suspended 4 of their starters, including Joey Bosa suspended. 4 starters with the Buckeyes. And I saw Gary Anderson earlier, the head coach at Oregon State, of course, from Wisconsin, and he was blown away by that story. Just, wow, that's a huge loss. with Ohio State, the national champs, opening up against Virginia Tech. So that's going on today. The Diamondbacks sweep out Seattle. They have a day off today. In Houston, the trade deadline is tomorrow. David Price gets traded today to Toronto from Detroit. Last night, Eric and I were having a nice time at dinner, and I got back and saw about the Mets pitcher that was crying on the mound, so we'll get into that. Cole Hamels gets traded to Texas. Some of the other things going on in the world of sports. On the other side, Lincoln Kennedy will be with us. We'll talk with Lincoln, mountain of a man that I've known for many years on the Pac-12 Network now and Valley Resident too. We're going to go through the conference, ASU, U of A, all that. He's now with the Pac-12 Network, so you see him week in and week out. I think he's doing the ASU-Cal Poly game as well, the analysis work. So that's next here at the Pac-12 Media Days at Warner Brothers Studios. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
All right, at Pac-12 Football Media Day, Sports360AZ, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat, now joined by someone that I've known for, gosh.
Oh, it's a long time.
Like 30
years. Are we
going to
date ourselves like that, Brad?
Are we going 30 years, Lincoln?
Wow.
So Lincoln Kennedy, back in the day, well, present day is now, right. Pac-12 Football Network analyst.
Yes.
Back in the day, Lincoln Kennedy was this mountain of a young man at Morse High School in San Diego.
Wow.
And you would just crush people. I mean, you would plow people over.
Thanks, man.
When Hamilton plays Chandler, it's nothing like Morse against Lincoln Morse against Sweetwater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So from Lincoln, it's to UW, then right. the NFL, and now you're in the Valley, and you're killing it doing all sorts of things. Welcome on board, first of all, with Pac-12 Network.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. It's an exciting time. This is Pac-12 Media Day. I never could have imagined this, but this is how much college football has grown, even since I played, which seems like
it was eons ago.
I was trying to be kind, Brad. I didn't want to date myself that bad.
It's like I've been doing this for eons. I got it. Decades.
Exactly.
Let's just embrace the age.
Yes, that's right. Take it in. But no, it's a wonderful feeling. And, you know, what's exciting for me is I know 90% of these coaches.
Wow.
You know, from Shaw to Peterson to, you know, to Jim Moore Jr., Sark, all these guys. I know these guys have had personal relationships and dealing with them. Shaw was an assistant coach with the Raiders the year we went to Super Bowl. So, you know, I have backgrounds with these guys. And now to have a son, of course, at USC and to see these kids, I played with some of these guys' fathers, like Hardy Nickerson Sr. Played against these guys.
Now you are dating yourself.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's great for the conference. I'm excited for the conference as a whole because from top to bottom, you have coaches that can stand their own with any coach, any division, any conference in the country.
Right.
From Mike Leach to Rich Rod. I mean, you go through names of who's and the coaches, very charismatic coaches, great recruiters. And now this year, Brad, you look at the Pac-12 South, you can hold that up. It stands toe-to-toe with the SEC West,
sure.
The best of the best, because you've got five teams that are coming back that won 9 games or more last year. Very impressive.
Well, here's the thing, though. The South is much better than the North.
Right.
As we're sitting here at the end of July.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be the case as the season progresses. But, well, you know, I think today if we're sitting here saying, okay, Oregon's got a quarterback that is going to be coming in from Eastern Washington.
Right.
We'll see how that works out. You lose a lot there. UW?
Yeah.
They lose so much defensive guys.
And they don't have a quarterback. In order to be successful in the game of football, you got to have a quarterback. They're not there yet.
Right.
They're still trying to find their own. And they lost a ton of guys. They lost their entire defensive line, most of their offensive line. They got one starter. They just don't have the depth as some of the other teams. But, you know, we come into this season just like any other football season. We're optimistic that there's going to be balance. Most conferences are top-heavy.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 was really no different. It just so happens that the South is heavier than what's left in the North. Washington State, Washington are going to be reeling. But don't sleep on Cal. Don't sleep on what Stanford does because they've got a proven product that still wins. And don't sleep on Oregon. Oregon has been a top for a while, and they're just going to have to next guy up, reload. We'll see how it goes.
You know, the thing about Stanford is that's a program that has become like an Alabama.
Certainly.
In that every year, doesn't matter how many people are in the stands, doesn't matter.
Right.
David has got it where he's just going to grind you and slug you in the mouth.
Certainly.
And their style of play within this conference kind of sets them a bar much higher than most every other team.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I was having a great conversation with Glenn Partner and Nick Aliotti, the two of my comrades with the Pac-12 Network. And we were talking about, for as much scheme as you see in today's game, what kind of goes by the wayside is technique.
Yeah.
A lot of programs don't have the time to practice technique. So it's hard for them to practice how to be physical. You have to know how to be physical in order to play this game. And when you have a program like Stanford that works on physical, they got smart kids who want to learn and want to do all this other stuff, but they want to be also, they want to be physical and powerful. That transcends them to a different level. That puts them on a different level that if you don't have a defense that's stacked up against it, they will smack you in the mouth for four quarters, run all over you, and take all this spread, flashy offense out the window because you can't get on the football field.
Yeah, yeah. They'll grind it. They'll do 13 plays, 89 yards, 7-minute drives. That's their deal. All right, so if we're looking at Arizona first, let's look at Rich Rod,
where
they were, what he's done. I think by the end of this season, there's going to be colleges calling him again.
Certainly, I'm sure.
I'm thinking there's some SEC jobs that may come open.
Certainly.
But for where he is today, what do you see out of U of A this year?
Well, it's got to be a privilege to have, you know, your starting backfield returning after freshman years, winning in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next step in the progression is you want to win the whole thing. You want to put yourself in a big BCS bowl representing the Pac and the playoff system. Right? What's the development of Solomon? That's going to be, to me, that's going to be his greatest coaching.
Because he struggled at the end of the year, and he was hurt.
Yes.
He was hurt.
Want to see the maturation process of your quarterback. As I said before, you got to have a quarterback to succeed. And the thing that Rich Rod and the Wildcats are up against is right up I-10, there's a nice team in Arizona State. Berkovici wants, I think, to me, has something to prove that he can compete on a high level. So he's going to take some chances downfield. And Arizona State's a team to be reckoned with. They got a good football team. So it'll be touch and go to see how Rich Rod handles the pressure of being in that starlet. And no one's really predicting them to win it. Everyone's talking about USC. Everyone's talking about everyone else.
But you know why that is? Here's why: they don't have a bye. 12 straight weeks, okay? I've never seen anything like it.
Right.
At some point, Lincoln, their tongues are going to be dragging at some point.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I know offensive coordinators that lose sleep and preparing their kids against that 3-3 look that they run on defense.
Yeah.
Arizona's got some players. You know, they own both sides of the ball. I just think you talk about the fatigue and the drag and the rituals of the season. It might be kind of hard on them. I think by today's standard, the way these guys are doing the game, because it's evolved to a year-round sport,
not a big deal.
It's not going to be as a big deal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then you think about it. There, most of the teams in college football are finesse teams. We talk about Stanford being more of a power team.
Yeah,
in my opinion, they're more of a finesse team. So if you have the conditioning to run sideline to sideline, it's not like anyone's really coming in on a consistent level overpowering you.
Because I know internally they were not thrilled when this all came out.
I'm sure.
I know Rich was not thrilled. But then, and I think Scooby Wright, you look at him and you say, okay, here's a guy that if he was playing for USC, he'd be getting a lot more.
Absolutely.
A lot more run.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's terrific.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And that's why I say it's a little bit of I think it's disrespectful, personally, the fact that you win the South Division last year, and then no one even has you, you know, up there to win it. Everyone's just conceding it's going to go to USC or UCLA is going to be a player or Utah's. I mean, all these other schools
right.
in front of you. It's like, what do we do? I mean, we're just some, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping that the Wildcats are mature enough to overlook that and say, you know what, we're the kings. You got to come after us.
Okay. Lincoln Kennedy with us. Before I let you go, let's talk ASU inside now. What do you see out of Todd in the way of his concern at the end of last season was we have to become more physical. We have to replace what we had at quarterback in Taylor.
Right.
But I will tell you, when they lost at Oregon State last year, there was already internal discussion.
Certainly.
With Mike Norvell and Todd saying, should we go with Burko now? And I think there's a little regret they didn't use him in the bowl game. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I agree with you on that. But I do think there's some questions defensively with them on their backside.
I will say this. The biggest concern I had from watching and assessing this team in spring, I think they made a conscious effort to be more physical. I saw that in spring ball.
Okay.
So as much as you can take away from spring when you're practicing guys, I think they made a conscious effort in being more physical. I think they're talented enough on both sides of the ball to maybe carry the weight because they've got some studs that are returning. The biggest question mark I have is Burko going to get a little too ahead of himself? And what I mean by that is that, you know, we use words in this business like manage the game. And some people like it, some people don't. The truth of the matter is that you want your quarterback to be a leader and to be a risk taker, but not so much of a risk taker where he compromises the game plan or gives the ball away, causes turnover, because that's time he drives. So don't take too many risks.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, Burkle wants to be the man and wants to prove that he can do it in his high-powered offense. If he takes some shots downfield and it's not open and comes to turnovers, that takes wind out of your sail.
Yep.
As remember, as an offensive lineman, you walking off the field after turnover, oh, man, we had something gone. It's hard to get that motor back on when you feel, you know, you feel beaten up like that. So I think from the first early part of the games, one of the games that I'm doing, I'm excited about, is ASU versus Cal Poly. I'll have a chance to see this team. You know, see this early in the season and see how they react to an opponent they shouldn't easily handle.
Sure.
And go out there and see how this offense moves. And I'm excited about
coming
that.
Off of a Texas A&M game, too.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's one of those games where, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the thing about college football, and I've heard many of scouts and many people say this, the hardest thing for college athletes to do are to get up to that revving level, that cruising speed, and stay there because right. you have this natural pitfall. And when you run through a gauntlet like the Pac-12, there's really no sleeper that you can just run all over,
mm-hmm.
even if it might be top heavy. And you can't have your kids think, oh, well, we got Colorado on the thing.
Well, it's like SEC.
Absolutely.
SEC in November when they schedule Furman,
right.
you know, and
right.
that's gone on there forever.
Right.
And I look at the Pac-12 saying, there's no Furmans out here.
No.
You know, Colorado, yeah, they're 1-17 right. the last 18.
Right.
But there are no it's a great point you bring
yeah.
up because I think nationally that discussion hasn't really amplified enough that, yeah, SEC gets a bye week every all those schools. It's
the problem ultimately to me is that we called them cupcakes back in the day.
Yeah,
cupcakes. If you pick a cupcake schedule with the way college football, which is the way football is in general, somebody who has a couple athletes that can make things happen on an opposing team, don't sleep on Cal Poly. They won some games.
Sure,
they might be a threat. It would be embarrassing for Arizona State to lose a game to them. And that's just being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It would be embarrassing. And there are times, I've been there, there are times where you don't take an opponent as seriously. And they can make you, you know, remember them. I gave up 2 sacks in my entire college career. And I remember one was against Oregon because I forgot the snap count. And one was against a player of University of Pacific. University of Pacific doesn't even have a football program anymore.
They're on YouTube, by the way.
But I remember that play, and because I didn't take that guy seriously,
yeah.
he got around me and got a sack, and I was like, "Oh, hey, who are you?" I didn't, you know, it was personal. But it there are times where kids might not look at it, and because they are playing a Cal Poly or somebody they think they might walk over, those are when the times they make it interesting, or you get hurt, or you lose more than the game is worth, if you know what I mean.
What are you going to be doing with the network this year?
Be calling games. As I said, my first assignment is Cal Poly versus ASU. I'm excited about that. That's going to be on the Pac-12 network. And then I'm going to also be doing an in-studio analyst. So both work on Tuesday with the Pac-12 football weekly program, and then on Saturday.
Who are you mixing it up with in studio? Do you know yet?
Don't know yet. All of those guys. I've worked with Matt Leinart and Yogi Roth and those guys. And Mike Yam has been the lead host. But don't know yet who's going to be in the studio with me.
All right. Thanks for coming by, man.
My pleasure, Brad.
Good luck.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Lincoln Kennedy, that was good stuff there. That's a meat sandwich, as we like to say. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Back with more at Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank at Pac-12 Football Media Day after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat, live at Pac-12 Football Media Day. Thanks again to Lincoln Kennedy. Todd Graham's going to swing by here in about 10, 15 minutes. And I understand that for UASU fans, there's been some news this morning about Kalen Ballage, the big-time running back. They're going to move him over to play some devil backer, so we're going to talk about that. I have said repeatedly that it's great that there was a Super Bowl in the Valley. I'm all about big events. When the Final Four was being pushed, we sent our crews out to that, shot content, went out and told that story. But in between that, we have the national title game, the college football playoff, that is coming to the Valley. And that will be in January. Gina Lee, who has been in the Valley in the past, who's now the Senior Director of Communications and Brand Management for the CFP, she joins us for a couple of minutes here at Pac-12 Football Media Day. Her and Eric were like, I don't know, high school buddies all over each other. It's embarrassing when Eric gets like that, but it's fine. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Let's give your backstory of Phoenix and how you ended up at CFP.
Sure. I was a University of Arizona grad, so sorry for some of the listeners. I know booze are everywhere
right now.
Half
the audience watching you right now is just done.
And I moved from college to the Phoenix area. I worked for the Fiesta Bowl for almost 10 years between my time at the Insight Bowl and then the Fiesta Bowl, and went to the Rose Bowl after that for about 5-6 years, and then moved to the Dallas area about a year and a half ago. So I've been in the bowl business now for, gosh, I don't want to say how long, 17 years?
Yeah, ish.
It's gone by fast.
Okay, so what do you do? For people watching, it's like, okay, got sure. it. What does she do?
I oversee all of our media operations, so just your traditional media as far as credentialing, setting up press conferences, doing our collateral materials, and then on a larger scale, our branding. So anything that you see visually with marketing efforts, social media efforts, our website, all of the symbol that you see out there for the college football playoff, creating brand awareness, education about the college football playoff.
Am I better saying CFP or college football playoff?
You can say either.
You're fine with that.
Yeah. First reference, college football playoff.
College football. but if anybody slips and says BCS or bowl champion, then they're done. They're off the list.
That was part of our history.
Rips off the headphones and slams them to the ground. All right. So there's people listening saying, well, she's got to tell me that they're going to expand this playoff. And I'm going to say to you, that's not today's discussion. Okay. From that standpoint.
Or a discussion for the next 12 years.
12 years. Yeah, right, right. That's it'll be a discussion. It'll just be among fans.
Sure.
Right? It'll
absolutely.
Be like Eric's TCU nitwits in Baylor. You know, those guys just come out of the woodwork, and he's still bitter about it. I'm surprised he even talked to you after what happened last year.
I've said it before. There's always going to be a number 5 and a number 6. It doesn't matter, you know, what year we look at. We're always going to have that situation. We had it in the BCS, and we're going to have it with the college football playoff.
That's what makes it good.
You're exactly right. When the discussion stops, then we're all going to be in trouble. But that's what makes college football so exciting.
So here's the thing on this, Gina. I'm the guy that will say that the ASU-Texas A&M game is a playoff game. I'm that guy that you can say that every week is a playoff, and you're actually not saying it tongue-in-cheek or that it sounds like a really good message, that the playoff, as it's put in place, is terrific. But if we're looking at college football, the importance of every game matters. To that end, if you look at Phoenix right now in Arizona for this year's CFP, what is your message to the people this year?
I think you hit it on the head. I mean, we had that slogan in the BCS era that every game counts, and that slogan has not changed, and it's what makes college football so exciting. Week in and week out, it's what people tune in for. And unlike any other sporting event in college, even a professional level, the tradition, the passion that exists in college football is what keeps fans' interest at such a peak all season long. So watching in and out every day from the kickoff of the first weekend leading up to when we'll be there in January, every weekend counts, every weekend matters. And you see that not only on obviously the team side, but the fan enthusiasm as well.
Okay, so from a local standpoint, last year was Ohio State and their fans, and they just pounded away on everybody, and then you had Florida State and you had Oregon. You have these rabid fan bases, but the guy that's sitting there or girl that's sitting there right now watching, listening to you is saying, I don't have a dog in the fight, and I'm an ASU U of A fan. We hope that they make it there, but history shows that's typically not the case. But they're a local person. They want to be involved. How do they go about that?
One of the things that was important when we were establishing the college football playoff was to do exactly that and look outside of the traditional football fan. We know they're going to be in town. We know they're going to be interested. But what can we bring to a local community outside of what takes place on the field? So we developed a weekend of festivities similar to what you've seen at the Final Four over the years, similar to what you see at Super Bowl. We've got a fan festival. We've got a music festival. So we have something for everybody. And that was the point. We wanted to, again, bring the community in, bring families in so that they could be part of the atmosphere and the pageantry and not necessarily walk into the stadium on game day, but know that there's a big time event going on and feel a part of the community.
Do you have these coaches and people associated with each school like try to treat you differently, butter you up, and all that stuff? Because here's the thing. Those days, I think, are gone, obviously. The Bulls used to be that way.
Sure.
You'd see somebody wearing the yellow jacket, and it was funny how they would just bees on honey, ants on a picnic. It was nowadays, it's like, no, you guys got to win.
I mean, we definitely have not diminished that bowl atmosphere and the bowl family. And I think, again, that was another important factor in establishing the college football playoff. There is so much great tradition with the bowls. We still have that. It's just different now. Mm-hmm. And our selection committee has kind of taken the place a little bit of the bowl reps. But there's no value lost in what they bring to the table. And that bowl experience is still very much a part of the college football playoff. The semifinals in particular, that's their bowl experience still. And then they get to the national championship game and it turns into a little more of a business trip.
Right.
Because it's a shorter week. But our selection committee has certainly taken some of the spotlight in that sense as far as the bowl reps are concerned. And for good reason. I mean, they did an amazing job in year one. Couldn't be more proud of the group of people that we have in that room, and their integrity and their knowledge of the game is pretty tremendous to watch from my vantage point.
A lot greater than ours. Especially because you have people that are biased. You know, you have these TCU people that just think that
not
the world,
biased, passionate.
The world revolves
passion.
Around them.
It's
you know,
passion.
It's amazing. Gina Lee with us from the CFP. So Glendale, you have events, but you also made an announcement. We were there with Bill Hancock about being involved in downtown. Mm-hmm. So fans should get ready for a downtown experience too, not just Glendale, right?
Correct. We are going to lead off up into game day in downtown Phoenix. So we will kind of have our headquarters down there from an event perspective starting Friday. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Again, we'll have our Playoff Fan Central, which will be very similar to games, entertainment, food vendors, and then Playoff Playlist Live, which is our concert series that will feature.
Who's playing?
To be determined.
Oh, come on.
To be announced.
You know.
We got to hold something.
This is like ASU's uniforms. Jeez, oh, man.
And then we've got a lot of things going around in the community related to our foundation, Extra Yard for Teachers. We'll have a teaching summit. We'll have a 5K event take place in the
cool.
Valley as well. So again, going back to we want to bring the community in and let them be a part of this great experience.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add? I haven't asked you.
Thank you for having us. And
yeah, sure.
Anytime we can come say hello while we make our trips, we'll be out in the Valley.
You got it.
Monthly.
Yeah. Well, it's. We're just here. We do our thing, and
hey,
we do
I'm
it well.
I'm happy to be back. It's going to be fun to be in my old stomping
yeah.
grounds in a different setting, but lots of familiar faces like today, and look forward to it.
All right. Get out of here. You're great.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Gina.
Good seeing you.
Yeah, you too. Gina Lee with us for a couple of minutes, Senior Director of Communications for the College Football Playoff. So her and Eric are going to go get caught up. I won't see Eric for like the next 20 minutes. Larry Scott came by earlier. I think he's going to swing back by. Todd Graham's going to be here in a few minutes. We'll talk with Todd and much, much more as we continue from the college football, Pac-12 football media days here in Burbank. We're at the Warner Brothers Studio, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Back here in Burbank, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. Partner with the Arizona Republic day in and day out. Brad Sismat with you. So Larry Scott, actually, his people just came by and said he wants to come join us early. So we'll have Larry Scott here. Todd Graham is supposed to be with us here in a couple of minutes as well. And we're not going to lose Coach Graham. Eric was telling me during the break that there was something that he did. You did some video with, was it Simone? Simone is out here doing something like with a pinata or what was that?
So they have a pinata set up about 40 feet to our left.
Yeah.
And they have the head coaches basically adjusting the pinata, and they have the players that are here blindfolded with a baseball bat taking shots at the pinata. This was a big trident pinata, basically.
Yeah.
And so I just happened to be walking by, and Burko was up there, and he's dressed up in his cowboy outfit, and he's got the blindfold on and the cowboy hat on. And he took a couple smacks at it and ended
up like a photo booth
and ended up breaking his bat. And there's Todd Graham trying to get him to miss the giant pinata, but it's up. I just posted on Twitter a little while ago.
Yeah.
At Eric Sports 360AZ, blatant plug.
That's fine. That's fine.
We're being social, as they say.
No, it's fine. This is what we do. I mean, we're out here. So there's people that want to talk football. They want me to get into the ins and outs, and I will. We'll talk about the Kalen Ballage move because that's the big buzz out here. But there's also this Hollywood mentality that Commissioner Scott has wanted to have the last couple of years. Guys, I'm going to ask him about the TV contract. That's the standard Larry Scott opening question interview that you get anyways.
Right.
Are you going to get this thing with DirecTV figured out? And now that they're going over to AT&T, so that's coming. But every year we come out here, the last couple of years we're at Sony. And Sony went through some problems with the interview. And
I didn't hear about that. Oh, what
yeah.
Happened? Really?
Yeah.
Problems?
Yeah, there were some issues.
Oh, okay.
Never quite made it to the big screen. So all of a sudden, things like Pac-12 Football Media Day that were at Sony end up being sent over here. So we're
it's
fine.
It's been
at
Universal
this.
Brothers, too. Universal Studios.
So we walked by this morning, and there's like, if we wanted to go see a taping of Ellen, we could have done that. We could have gone by and seen that. But instead, we decided to come over here and do our show, which is fine. There was a couple of sports news notes that happened today. Ohio State suspended four of their starters, including Joey Bosa, Jalen Marshall, running back Dante Wilson, and wide receiver Corey Smith. They were all suspended today by the Buckeyes. So Ohio State, which opens the season against Virginia Tech, they lose four of their starters for that matchup. And that's probably the big story of the day nationally. The other story here at Pac-12 Football Media Day, Arizona State released their uniforms this morning. And Kalen Ballage, ASU, is going to move him in position. Larry Scott just out of one interview on to the next. We've already had David Shaw swing by. Todd Graham here in a couple of minutes. Mike Berkovici, Gina Lee from the CFP. She came by, a Valley resident. It's always good to see Gina. And Lincoln Kennedy came by, now Commissioner Larry Scott, for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. Once again, good seeing you.
Nice seeing you, Brad. Good to be here.
Good to be here. And as always, off the top, except this year is a different year, I can actually ask you, because fans are pummeling with me, ask them about the AT&T deal. And does this mean DirecTV is closer and you're done with this question, but it's one that fans always ask me about. So let's get that out of the way right off the top.
Does mean we're closer. This is a moment I've been looking forward to, hoping that AT&T's acquisition of DirecTV would go through, because we are one step closer. AT&T has been a great partner of ours. They're a sponsor of all 12 of our schools, of the conference, and they've been carrying the Pac-12 networks
right on
the AT&T U-verse service. So while there's nothing done, and we haven't even started conversations yet because they've been prohibited, I expect we're going to start conversations soon, and I expect them to be fruitful.
Could you think of seeing it this year at some point, that a switch is flipped? Could you even go down that path?
I would hope so. It's hard to predict when. Yeah. You know, they're digesting a $49 billion acquisition, and I know we're a priority for them, but I'm sure we're not the first priority. So it's a shame that it took so long to complete, because football season's almost upon us. But I know it will be a priority, and certainly I'm going to do everything possible from the Pac-12 side to try to advance the discussion so that football fans this season hopefully aren't deprived of the games like they've been.
Okay, expansion is something that gets hit on me with. Is there thought of Power 5 going down to Power 4, and are you in these spaces and saying we are always open to expansion, or is this the Pac-12 and this is going to stay the Pac-12?
We plan to stay the Pac-12 for the foreseeable future. We've got no plans to expand at the moment. Having said that, if you look at the history of the NCAA conferences, every so often there is a wave of expansion. My approach to that's been to say, let's focus on making the Pac-12 the strongest conference in the country. Because if we're strong and there's a wave of expansion, we're going to be in a great position.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have to expand, we'll be a place people want to come to.
And as you sit here today, I mean, on the field, the argument can certainly be made that the Pac-12 South is as good as any conference, and the Pac-12 top to bottom, west, north and south, you reach the television markets that need to be reached, most importantly for you. Your depth of football has gotten better. Even the programs that are struggling appear to be rising up. So it seems to me that you're in a position of strength for that, if you were to look at it.
I feel that way. Yeah. I don't think that there's any conference in the country that can say they're stronger top to bottom. If you look at this last season, 6 bowl wins, a decidedly winning record in all the non-conference games that we played, had a team that made the first ever college football playoff, the Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any conference that had the resume we had. In fact, ESPN voted us the best football conference in the country last year for the first time in a while. The coaches I just saw this morning have six Pac-12 teams in the preseason top 25. So we're starting to get some of the respect and attention that we deserve. You mentioned the Pac-12 South. I don't think there's a stronger division in the country than the Pac-12 South. And I believe that whoever wins the Pac-12 this year can look the College Football Playoff Committee in the eye and say, no one's had a tougher road to the playoff than the Pac-12 champion. So that's what I'm aspiring to, for us to clearly be seen as the best football conference in the country, top to bottom. I think we're right there. But I also think we have to win the championship game to have the full bragging rights.
One other question before I let you go, and that is, if you look at Arizona State, new facility coming online with Sun Devil Stadium being upgraded under Ray, Greg's done a terrific job in getting U of A turned around. What do you make out of ASU and U of A, just top to bottom athletic departments?
I think we're in great shape. I think we've got dynamic leadership, both the universities and their athletics departments. We've got investment being made.
Finally.
Yep. We've got top caliber coaches. So if I look at where we are at Arizona and Arizona State compared to 5 years ago, to see our schools have the resources to make the investments that have been made in new football facilities, basketball facilities.
Still coming basketball facilities.
Yes. Yeah. Plans. Either having been done or planned to be
correct.
Done.
Correct.
Other sports benefiting as well. The caliber of coaches that we've been able to hire. You know, 5 years ago, we'd be sitting here at Football Media Day, and our schools wouldn't have had the resources to hire the best coaches in the country, to retain them.
Retain them, right.
To support assistant coaches, which is part of the deal these days as well, to build new facilities. This was possible. So, you know, I'm very proud of the transformation that's taken place in the conference, and specifically how this has benefited our Arizona schools, combined with the strong leadership and the great work that they're doing in their local communities.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. It is not, I've been there 20 years in the state, and it's no question this is finally tides have risen, and there's been some narrow thinking that's been pushed to the margins finally. I appreciate you coming by for a couple of minutes.
Great to be with you, Brett.
Good seeing you. Thanks. Larry Scott with us for a couple of minutes, the commissioner. Always good. I could spend an hour with him on lots of these topics, but he is a busy man. Sitting here on the media row where you go from one spot to the next spot to the next spot to the next spot, and that's how it works here at the Pac-12 Football Media Day. Todd Graham is going to be by here in a couple of minutes. We'll step aside, and we'll continue on from Warner Brothers, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Appreciate General Manager Tim Hovick and company, a big part of what we do with the college football scene and actually everything here at sports360az.com. Back with more after this timeout. Off we go in hour number two, live at Pac-12 Football Media Day. Brad Sussmat, we are at Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank, and Todd Graham swings on in for a couple of minutes, the head coach at Arizona State University. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. You were putting this morning. You did a pinata, I heard. So you didn't do much football. You did some football so far today.
Well, we did our main stage press conference, and then we competed a little bit putting, and then I don't know what the pinata deal was, but I actually kept Jordan from hitting it, and I let Mike hit it because your quarterback's got to be successful.
So if your quarterback can't hit a pinata, he's got a hard time hitting a wide receiver on a cross.
Well, he was blindfolded.
Well, there you go. There you go. It's good seeing you. Last time we were together was up in Pine Top, and you were just about ready to leave on your summer vacation. A year ago, I asked you about your summer vacation. You came back from Normandy, and you had stories all over the place. Do you have any stories this year, or was it just you got away?
It was pretty cool. You know, Coach Casty went with us. We take some of our staff as kind of a bonus for them, and Coach Patterson, our defensive coordinator, went, and my good friend Jack Frost, one of our great supporters, went. So we had 22 people.
Wow!
Oh, with our party, we took a Mediterranean cruise, went to Rome for 3 days, Naples, Barcelona, Spain, Palma Islands, Marseille, France, and then back to the Italian Riviera by Portofino. So it was great. It was on a cruise ship, and had a great time about 12 days, and. It was a good experience. I really enjoyed Barcelona. I loved the Basilica there. It was pretty amazing. And obviously going to Rome and seeing St. Peter's Basilica is amazing there. And being an old history teacher, I love all that stuff. I've been to Rome before, but we were kind of taking some people that hadn't and showing them and getting a chance to see some special places. So it was pretty neat. And I like getting to spend time with you know, it's nice to, you know, take our staff with us and get to spend some time there and to relax a little bit.
When did you have to scratch the football itch? Every day, or did you get away?
No, I got away. My mentor and a guy that was like my dad passed away while I was in Rome. So I didn't have my cell phone, and so it was a couple of days before they were able to get a hold of me. So that was something that was tough for me because I wasn't able to get back. And so, but I was able to get a statement out there. And so that was kind of a distraction there. But other than that, man, I needed a little depressed time.
Sure.
And we got away and didn't talk much football, just enjoyed ourselves. And now I'm motivated and ready to roll.
Yeah, rock and roll. Kalen Ballage. Going to play some defense. What's going on with Kalen today? I'm getting a lot of fans sending me notes saying, ask Coach Graham about Kalen Ballage.
Yeah. Well, in the spring, we worked him as a pass rusher. He was one of the most dominant players. I thought he had one of the best springs of anybody on our team, maybe the MVP of spring. He's really matured mentally, a highly intelligent young man. We're just going to use him every way we can, and obviously we're going to get him the ball. But I think he can impact the quarterback rush and the passer. I think he's pretty dynamic returning kicks.
Sure.
So we're going to get our money's worth out of Kalen. And you have to be very, very smart and very well conditioned to do that. And so we're going to kind of evaluate that and see where we're at there. But it's something that we think he's one of the most dynamic, unique individuals in the country. And so we're going to utilize him. And I think that whatever we got to do to win, that's what we're going to do.
Anything else about your team that has changed since we last saw you? Players coming, going, hurts,
I can tell
bumps,
you,
bruises.
Well, they gotten faster and they gotten stronger. You know, this is the culture, you know, is what gives me so much confidence. You know, I find myself standing back and it's players leading players. The sacrifices, the leadership that these guys are taking on. We've been very careful not to make any exceptions and hold them to very, very high standards. Our strength coach has done a tremendous job developing the guys. I mean, we are really – this is the fastest team we've ever had, the strongest, most explosive. And then obviously I think the improvements with Coach Slocum coming on board from special teams. So since I talked to you last, you know, I'm excited about the development of this team. There's no doubt in my mind, my belief in this team and our program's about winning championships. I want our fans to understand that. I've got, you know, everybody here is talking about back-to-back 10-win seasons and all that, 28 wins in 3 years, most in a 3-year period. There's nobody in our building talking about that.
We're talking about new uniforms.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We're talking about winning championships. And we want to be Pac-12 champions. Anything less than that, I say that every year,
sure,
is not acceptable. So, we're building something special here. And I'm really, really excited because where our players are from a development standpoint, their mental maturity. This, you know, you never know. You got to win a lot of close games. You never know exactly what's going to happen on the field. But I can tell you this. This will be a team that I will love coaching. Because of the character that it has and the discipline that it possesses is pretty exciting.
I'll see you next week at Media Day and then at Camp T. Thanks for
yes,
coming
sir.
By.
Go Devils.
Good seeing you, Todd. Todd Graham for a couple of minutes. Appreciate the coach. He's on a tight schedule. Appreciate him coming over. And we'll have Mike Bercovici here in a couple of minutes. Jordan Simone as well. Blake Martinez came by a short time ago. I think we're going to swing back to Blake Martinez from Stanford as the show moves on. So there's a lot of – and Blake, of course, down at Canyon Del Oro. So we find the angles of coaches, players out here at Media Day that are part of the fabric. And I think if you look at Todd, fabric of Arizona, I think if you look at Todd this year and where things are with ASU, the expectation that Texas A&M game – Eric and I were talking about this on the drive on the way over. Texas A&M game, you figure the preseason poll is going to come out. And Arizona State will probably be ranked somewhere between, 12, 15, 17, and maybe a couple slots higher than that. They're not going to be below the 20th ranked team. I think they should be somewhere around 15. You go to play Texas A&M, they'll probably be between, again, 10 and 20, somewhere in that range. It's one of the best games of the weekend. Michigan and Utah is right there. And there's a couple of others, but if Arizona State wins that game, then they're going to start out the season with a non-conference, power conference W, which will likely move them 10, 9, 8, somewhere in that range. And then they have their two games against teams that they should beat. After that, you look at it and say, okay, they'll go into conference play, and once they're in conference play, anything is possible. The games that, with Cal Poly and New Mexico, I think those are wins. It sets up the USC game on September 26th. So ASU, assuming they beat Texas A&M, is 3-0, probably somewhere around 8, 9, 10, maybe 7, 6, depending on what's in front of it. In all likelihood, between, I'd say, 7 and 10. If they don't win that game, they are somewhere around 20, 21, 22. They'll play two games against teams that, quite frankly, there's not going to be a lot of buzz with Cal Poly and New Mexico. Then you get the USC and UCLA games in back-to-back weeks. You could find the interest in ASU football being like we've never really seen. If they win that A&M game and you have SC and UCLA in back-to-back weeks, you could be sitting there as a top five, top four program. That's the magnitude of opening with a Texas A&M versus opening with a Cal Poly or opening with a New Mexico. The way that the schedule falls for ASU, they may have a terrific, terrific stance.
Sir, whatever you want me to do.
You know, it's just sit there, Jordan. Okay. You know, it's fine. Jordan Simone just came on by. Jordan is, it's always good to have Jordan Simone. Berkovici is going to be here in a couple of minutes. They are doing a putting contest. Todd Graham said earlier that he intentionally let the quarterback win the pinata thing with the blindfold.
Yeah. It's not okay. It was rigged.
Was rigged?
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
So, yeah, these new jerseys, first of all, fans are buzzing about that. What is the view internally?
I love them. I love them. I think that, you know, Adidas makes a great uniform to play in. It's the fabric is a lot different from what we're used to, and it's like you can move a lot better in it. So we actually got to try the jerseys on, and the fans will see that soon that we did it. We had the jerseys on. So they're really cool, and I think the fans are going to like them.
And does it make a difference?
Yeah.
It does.
You look good. You play
good. You look better.
You look better. You play better.
Because you're already good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're stiff that's out there.
No. I mean, but like I'm good, but I could be better, you know?
Through a jersey.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Because I mean, I'm playing this devil's advocate with you because there's some people it's just a jersey. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, that's part of the fun of this.
Yeah, it feels
good.
Part of the swag of this. I mean, you look good, you play good, so.
Yeah. Have you run anybody famous here today?
I saw Mike Berkovici today. That was
that's
cool.
Good.
It was
that's
cool
great.
To see him.
I
saw Coach Todd.
Did you get
Graham.
His autograph?
Huh? Yeah, I did. It's on my chest. I would show you, but it's a little inappropriate.
On a bicep?
I haven't ran anybody famous, but I'm a Seattle kid, so all this LA stuff is foreign to me. So driving through the studios, it was pretty cool.
You wouldn't ask Rich Rod for an autograph?
No, but he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I'm not trying to stir anything up.
No, I'm just saying,
you know, far be it from us.
Yeah.
Matt Leinart just walked by. You wouldn't ask him for his autograph?
No, he seems like a nice guy.
Lincoln Kennedy? None of these guys really. Jake Plummer?
Oh, Plummer. Plummer's my guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He charges, though.
Yeah, Plummer's a great guy.
It's like 20 bucks an autograph.
Hey, you got to pay it sometimes.
You like doing the TV stuff. I mean, when you're done, you could do this. Like if I took the headsets off, if I said, hey, Jordan, I'm going to go get a sandwich. You and Eric do your thing. You could do this much better than I could. I've been doing this 30 years. There's guys that you sit across from Jordan that you just know, okay, they've got it and they're not afraid.
Yeah.
So if Berko shows up here, Berko might be here at the same time, right, Eric? He may be here shortly. Oh, after this? Because I was going to say.
Who cares about Berko?
Well, no. I'll go to the commissary and
show. Can we get Berko over here?
Yeah. You know, you do the interview with him rather than me doing it. Because I'm going to ask him, like, I'm not going to ask him how's it feel to be replacing. I mean, all the nonsense that you usually get it these days. I want some real stuff.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can definitely
There's no
provide
pressure.
That. This will be like a little test for me.
Are we going to get him, do you think?
Is Berko coming?
Yeah, just drag him away.
Can we get Mike over here? Dang it.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's the type of show that I want. Just get after him.
Come on, Burke.
So is he making it over here? He's coming? All right.
Hey, well, thanks for having
me. Sure. Yeah.
And,
he's coming over.
Thanks for stopping by, Burke.
All right, here you go.
Burke, we're taking over the show, so thanks for stopping by. That was my guest, and I'm here with Mike Berkovici. Now, Mike,
Jordan Simone, nice to meet you.
You're back in your hometown. How's it feel?
It feels great. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the weather is perfect.
Yes.
Everything's perfect about the city.
Yeah.
But running guys like you, it's incredible.
Yeah, your family stopped by and everything.
Yeah, family stopped by. Had a little lunch or a late dinner.
Yes.
But
And I got to say, a guy from L.A., you know, this stuff. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Driving through here, this isn't new to you. Love this stuff, huh?
No, I consider myself a tour guide when I come down here. Absolutely. I'm teaching you a Northwest bad boy, Washington kid who doesn't know anything about sets. I mean, look where we are.
Okay, when you wake up in the morning, do you make your bed? And what does that say about you if you don't?
You know, I know what you're trying to get at because you think you make your bed all the time, but I've countless amount of times walked into your room and seen it not made.
Yeah,
so I make it about 3 times a week.
Yeah. How do you feel about naps?
Naps?
Yeah.
How do
we feel about naps?
Don't take them.
Dang straight.
There's 27 hours in a day with nine
that's
days
not
a
true.
Week.
No, that's all false.
Oh, it's all false. Yeah. Okay.
Something close to that, though.
Something like that.
So most looking forward to this year. Let me take that again.
Looking forward
what
to
are
most.
You looking to?
What are you looking
what are
forward,
you forward
to most?
Yeah, here we go.
What are you looking forward to most about
this upcoming season?
You know, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about the first game. We never opened up with a big SEC opponent like this, but it's going to be fun. We're going to prepare. We're going to be confident.
Yes.
And we're going to go out there like warriors.
Yeah. Well, Mike, enjoy yourself here in LA. And
what's up, Matt?
Matt Leinart, we're good buds. thanks for stopping by. that was really Matt Leinart, dude.
Holy.
He just all dapped right. you out.
We're getting this, the finger motion.
Kid.
We're time to go. It's time to go.
All right. Hey, thanks for stopping by, San Diego. All right.
Back here, Pac-12 Football Media Day, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. It's been a busy sports day here at Pac-12 Football Media Day. David Price was just traded in baseball from Detroit to Toronto. All sorts of trades on that front. Ohio State suspends 4 starters for their opener against Virginia Tech. But we want to talk to Blake Martinez for a couple minutes.
Hey, how you doing?
Brad Sussmat. Thanks for coming by. From Stanford, linebacker, but more importantly, an Arizona kid made good. Is that the best way to put it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. How has Stanford been for you?
It's been great, from the academics to the athletics, just kind of learning a lot of things. I know coming into Stanford, I never thought I'd be able to even take the academics portion. But as I've gone through, I've just gotten so much better at time and kind of learning so much. And I just see myself growing as my intelligence that much higher. And then on the field, just becoming the best player I can be. I kind of, leaving high school, just told myself I want to go to the place that's going to make me the top, I guess, like I just said, the best player I can be. And throughout this whole time, it's upheld that standard.
So go back then to the high school, and when you first got a letter from Stanford, because you just told me academically you weren't sure you could handle it.
Yeah.
Was it like, whoa?
Yeah.
Okay, so that day, do you remember that day when Stanford first came on your radar at the high school level?
Yeah, once they came, I actually didn't really know too much about Stanford. I thought it was an East Coast school, didn't know too.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind of oblivious to the whole point because I never thought anything of it. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it in, didn't all that stuff. Where I had good grades in high school, obviously, but it was just kind of, all right, yeah, if that happens, it happens.
And people don't know, high school was?
Canyon Del Oro.
Yeah, CDO.
Yep.
So, I mean, you were there with Kadeem and all that. So a kid that's at CDO looks at U of A and says, nah, I'm not going to go to U of A, goes to Stanford. How'd that work?
First, it was kind of tough just because when I was young, I kind of went to every single game, knew all the players, everything, did that whole kind of scene. But it was kind of funny. My parents, once I had all my offers lined up and everything, I talked to my parents about it. Like, all right, if you don't choose Stanford, we're never going to talk to you. And from that point on, I was like,
we will disown you.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, Mom, Dad, I kind of want you to talk to me still, so I'll go.
I'll go, even though I don't know if I can do this academically. Yeah. You guys are going to crush me. That's great. So you had that conversation.
Yeah.
And did it come down to Stanford, U of A? What did it come down to?
It came down to Stanford or Oregon, and it was kind of the point where I went to both their camps and kind of had to showcase my abilities to see if they would offer me. And after both camps were done, I got a scholarship from both. And being a high school student, I kind of just was like, oh, Oregon. That's like everything a high school football player wants. It's Disneyland for football there. But you kind of have to step back and think about everyone told me, just like, the next 4 years is going to set up the next 40 and if you go to Stanford. And I kind of stepped back and thought about it and was just like, I can't take up this opportunity.
It's a good line.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
So it was one of the things where, yes, academics is amazing, but the main thing that got me at Stanford was just like the people that I met there. When I went in, it was like I was a player already, that I've been there for 3 years and I could go hang out with the guys that night during my official visit.
Sure.
And it was just a great scene where I felt that other places it kind of wasn't much like that.
Yeah. Well, and you have a coach in David Shaw. I mean, Trent Murphy, someone that we've talked to through the years. He's bit of a knucklehead, but it's which is fine. We like knuckleheads on the show. But he talked about the David Shaw influence on him, and I'm sure that for you to be under Coach Shaw has taught you a lot.
Oh, yeah. He's taught me a lot from on and off the field. He's taught me how to present myself in everyday life, how to kind of go into every single class being that student that's going to become the best friend with that teacher or with the teacher, and kind of just teaching me on the field the fundamentals of every single portion of the game, from even if it's an offensive fundamental, just knowing those certain little aspects of football that'll help me out later on in my career.
Well, good deal. And you're majoring in?
Management, science, and engineering.
And what are you going to do if football ended today? What would you do with it?
So my main goal down the road is I'm really in nutrition. So right now I'm kind of learning the aspects of starting my own business. And I want to eventually do something that cuts down fast food chains tremendously.
Good for you.
So
good for you. Soy, vegan?
Kind of everything. I want to leave it open. Right now I'm just doing research with like certain doctors and stuff and seeing, hey, how could I get this done? Because I feel like the main excuse with kind of people eating fast food is, hey, it's cheap. You can get $2, you can get a whole meal.
And
kind of being able to, I know I'm not going to be able to get it down to $2 for healthy food, but as close as I can get where people will be like, hey, I can go do this. This is doable for me now. And take away that excuse or fact that, yes, you can go to McDonald's and get something unhealthy, but I feel like down the road, it's going to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah, so. No, I got it. Best of luck to you.
Yeah,
thanks for coming
definitely.
By. Talk to the
Thank
people
you.
Of Arizona for a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's Blake Martinez.
Have a good day, guys.
Very impressive. You got it. The football side's one thing, but a kid from Canyon del Oro that says he wants to go do his thing with nutrition. So did he just, like, throw the guilt on both of us for what we eat?
Most people do.
We're sitting here at Pac-12 Football Media Day. And you sit down with a starting linebacker at Stanford, and of course he wants to go change the world for how you consume food. Of course he does.
Great anecdote, too, about parents are like, well, if you don't go to Stanford,
you're done.
You can go ahead and give us your house key back, and we're going to cut off the car insurance and a whole number of things. But just seeing him, I have such vivid memories watching him at Sundeville Stadium, and I guess it was the 5A finals of his senior year. He had like 22 tackles in the championship game or the semifinal game, and he was just one of those guys where you saw him, you're like, that's a big time D1 football player, and he's had a good career.
And he had Kadeem Carey with him, so he's overshadowed by that. Everybody showed up to watch the Kadeem show.
Yep.
And
yep,
you know, CDO's terrific. It's a terrific program. It's been kind of an interesting show today. We've been all over the place.
Yeah, we've bounced around. Yeah. Coaches, players, analysts, but the rain has held off, and we're going to be back tomorrow.
We'll be back, and we'll do it some more tomorrow. Plenty of content up on the site, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.